Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I make no qualms, and I say that because I must, okay? This is our day. Somebody had a meme that said, if you ever wondered what you'd do when the Nazis were taking away the Jews in those boxcars, now you know. So we have to speak up. I'm telling you, we have to speak up. Because this is the day. We've got children now in the crosshairs. We've got other countries. But look what he says. He says, he came out, he went to the Mount of Olives. My wife and I had that opportunity to go there. It was just a fluke that it happened, and we had extra cash, and we had time to ourselves that we weren't overly engaged. And so we just pulled the trigger, and the thing came in the mail. We just did it. Went by the Mount of Olives. Went up where he prayed by Gethsemane. I can remember it in my mind's eye. It's a steep hill. Very steep walking down from the Mount of Olives off to the side. Man, it hurts your shins, you know, because we don't walk like that. It's hard rock. What I remember is looking off to my left, and I wish I'd have gone in there and spent a minute. I did that at Shiloh, where the ark was for 400 years, and I was moved there beyond my measure because God's Shekinah was there for 400 years. He was there. Even have some pieces of clay, and you think, well, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it does. That's the king's clay. But he was in that little garden, and he was praying. The Bible says, when he got to the Mount of Olives, he said to his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, that's a word we need to put a mark by in our Bible. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Why would they enter into temptation? Well, because this is going to get crazy here in a few minutes. The soldiers are coming. Judas is coming. An execution is going to be performed in front of them of the dearest and best the world has ever known. Are you ready for things to get goofy down here before the Lord blows the trumpet? I want you to be. I want you to know what you think, what you believe, what you really love, and what you care most about. I've heard the stories overseas in Muslim countries and in India. I've heard the story of about 10 people being taken into the streets. 4 women, 5 men, and a little boy. A little boy and his father in the crowd. Cutting his fingers off one at a time. They say, deny Jesus. And the dad would not deny Jesus. And the boy said, no, Dad, don't do it. And cut another finger off. And another finger. And Dad had to watch that. There's no end to the evil that's in this world. When it came down to it, they were raping the women in the streets. Put their heads on a block and ready to take their heads from their body. One of those in the crowd records for us what she saw. That when those women were put down there, the one woman was looking her way with her head down. And right before the man took the axe, she saw that woman's eyes light up and smile and say, Jesus. Are we ready for the temptation that's coming? I mean, it's not happy out there, right? I don't want to be alarmist, but this is getting out of control. Look at Australia, look at Canada, look at our borders, look at our White House, look at our Congress, look at our governors. We're in deep right now. Could go either way. Pray, pray that you enter not into temptation. If my people, which are called by my... You know, we can't guarantee we're going to float through. The Bible talks about the fact that if you go through the fire, you know, I'll be with you. If you go through the flood, I'll be there with you. No weapon that formed against you shall prosper. But that doesn't mean he's not willing to let his people be as sheep led to the slaughter all day for testimony, because he loves those people. He gave his son. He might allow you and me to bleed. But he will always be with us, and that's what you have to know. Those 3 Hebrews went into the fiery furnace not knowing. He said, I know he can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, O king, I will not bow. He threw him in. The king was startled to see not 3 men, but 4. He's not in there when he doesn't need to be. But he's right there when he does need to be. The Bible says that he told them, you need to be careful. Pray that you enter not into temptation. What kind of temptations? Well, there's going to be some things go sideways, right? The Bible goes on for us and it says, and he was withdrawn from them about the stone's throw away, and he kneeled down to pray and saying, Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, you got to understand, this was not some little cup. I mean, we're talking about the cup of the sins of the entire world. The Bible in the Old Testament talks about drinking a cup of judgment down to the dregs. It's like your coffee where the filter fell to the side. There's all these little grounds, and he just drank it. He said, give it all to me. Every abortion, every adultery, every fornication, every child trafficked, every child murdered. I'm telling you, this is a day where people are murdering children, not just in the womb. And he sees every single child murdered. He sees every single abortion. And he is going to bring an account for those things. And that's the thing people don't understand about the church. We are not afraid of anything down here. We're afraid of what God might do. We would say, no, take that away. Put that implement down. Don't hurt that baby. Don't hurt that baby. And then the poor woman who's been deceived, she walks into this room and they tell her it's okay and it's okay. We had dinner the other day at the restaurant and this girl came over and she's talking to us and she's just a sweet and she seems very collected. She was a good waitress, which I'm not used to seeing right now because a lot of people aren't working and some of them are harried when they do. And I said to Linda, that girl, she seems to have her game face on. She seems to know, and I got to talking to her. She was a believer, went to church locally. She had taken one shot, and she said, well, I sat down there, and I said, well, I guess I got to get this for college, she said, and I looked at my cousin, who gave me the shot, and she says, well, I guess it's okay, right? And the cousin gave her the shot. Think about that. This is a scary day, because that cousin probably doesn't know anything either. But if you go into an abortion clinic, they'll say it's not real, it's not a baby, it's just protoplasm, or it's some kind of a, you know, cells. And then a woman walks out and finds out later it's not, and she's walking with that wound. Listen, Jesus can forgive us. But the fact is it hurts. But the women who never find forgiveness, what are they dealing with? The tenderest among us, the most sweet in hearts that want to bleed for others. What is it that we've done to our women in this country? And that's on the legislatures, and it's on we who voted them in. I'm too busy, can't do anything, you can never control it. Well, people are starting to step up in places around the world now for the first time. Governors even are starting to show up in some states, not very many. And some of them are stepping up just because it's expedient for them. So you got to pay attention to their whole record. I'm telling you, we're living in some crazy times. And the Bible says, he said, this cup, you know, if you can remove it, that'd be great. He said, I will be done, I'm willing for whatever, but man... The Bible says, and there appeared an angel unto him, strengthening him from heaven. You know, the angels do show up. I wanted you to appreciate the angels. The Bible says in John chapter 1, you may remember that Nathanael, he brings him out and he says, you were praying under the tree. Look, a man in whom there is no guile. He says, how do you know me? He said, I saw you under the tree a few minutes ago. Well, you were over here. How can you say I'm God? Let me just tell you. That's who I am. I know you. I know what you just did. You just poured it all out. You just put it all on the floor. You just said, here it is, Lord. Look at it. It's ugly. It's me. And he got up and wiped his face and he said, man, I feel better. And then suddenly comes his cousin. You got to see this guy. You know, Jesus was facilitating that prayer, but nobody was going to intervene for Jesus. But Jesus, when he saw Nathanael, he said, verily I say unto you, you think this is great? He says, you think this is something? He says, hereafter you're going to see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. Here's one of those times where the angel descended upon Jesus and strengthened him. We see it also when he was in his temptation. Remember, he's driven into the wilderness, and afterwards the angels came to him and ministered to him. Bible says their ministering spirit sent forth the minister for those who shall be the heirs of life. And we need to be careful about our angels, beloved. They either will be on our back and helping us, or they're going to be told to stand down and the devil will come in and nip. That's part of it. The Bible says in Luke 12:9, it says, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. It doesn't mean he makes you... You're not lost. What that means is you don't have any protection. It's like our border down in Texas, down in the South, right? Our border. It's open. Tons of people flowing in. That's what's happened to America. Our hedge is down. The Bible says they strengthened him, and then it says, and then he began to pray again, being in agony and in earnest. And the Bible says, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Now, this is Luke. He understood this. Probably never saw it before in real time. This is not something very often seen, but a person can be under such duress and anxiety that the capillaries in their brow literally burst. And those that know these things in medicine tell us this is a phenomenon that does happen. You see, Jesus knew what he was dealing with. You and I don't. Jesus knew what he was going to have happen. There's a killing going to happen. That's what's going to happen here. There's going to be a killing. Okay? He's out there dealing with that. And the Bible says when he rose up from his prayer, he went and he found the disciples sleeping for sorrow. Well, what were they sorry about? Well, confusions, man. He just said he's departing. I don't even get that. He talked about a kingdom, but then he says he's got to depart. He says there's going to be a death, and things begin to register for them. They're feeling a sense of despair. He's been told, Peter's been told he's going to deny Jesus. Peter's going to deny it. He said that out loud. He didn't say it about Judas a minute ago. And they didn't know that yet. They just thought, you know, Judas was going out to take care of some business. And his directives, get a sword. I thought we were going home. There's going to be danger. There's going to be denials. There's going to be a death. Verse 46 says, why are you sleeping? I said, pray, lest you enter into temptation. Harken back to verse 40. Are you praying? Because this is the time when they're going to push you. Verse 47. While he yet spake, there came one, a group of multitude, and one with them, and his name was Judas, and he drew near and he kissed him. He said, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? The word for betray means to hand him over. He betrayed him by handing him over. That's what betrayal meant. We can do that through gossip. Bible talks much about that when it talks about things like putting a stumbling block before your brother. There's a lot of people who don't get it. You know, they think, oh, I can live like I want to live. I'm saved. Doesn't matter how I live. Doesn't matter if I drink or smoke or spit or chew. I don't care about my testimony. I'll just tell them Jesus loves them. Well, that may be okay, but if you're scandalizing another believer who's brand new and they're wondering what's right and what's wrong and they're trying to get their legs under them, you know, we're in a day of a phenomenon. It's called rock and roll into church. And I don't mind a little contemporary music. It's nothing wrong with that. But what we've done is we've made the church an entertainment center. And some people can't handle that. They're brand new. When I was brand new, I did not need to hear rock and roll in the church. I needed to go be calm for a while. And as a shepherd, my pastor didn't take me up on those high cliffs and expect that I was going to be able to have the legs to navigate that. But people who live so close to the bar in the song can tend to fall off of the cliff. I'm just saying that each of us has to be careful of our behavior, and especially pastors. And I know I'm reproving, but do you think the church is doing a good job today? Do you think the whole world knows that Jesus loves them? Do you think that's the thing they take away when they look at church? I saw a movie not long ago. It was a Christian movie. And what they did is they made the man who was the preacher tell jokes for 5 minutes, and that's all he had. But boy, they had a rock band going on in the room, and everybody's praising. Pastor got up laughing and put a hat on and put an umbrella up, and it flipped the wrong way, and everybody's chuckling, and it's just a ha-ha. What happened to gravity? Man, Jesus is coming. He's not happy with what's going on. And when he comes, people are going to go through a tribulation, the likes of which this world has never known. This is not time for frivolity. Jesus said, while the bridegroom is with us, we were going to celebrate. That's what they asked him. Why do you feast? And John's disciples, why do they fast? He said, when the bridegroom's taken, then they'll fast. We're not fasting. We're not sighing and crying. We're partying. Look in the Old Testament prophets. The Bible says, you sing your songs. I abhor your songs. He says, you who desire the day of the Lord, it is a day of darkness for you. You think it's going to be great. You don't even know Jesus. That's the Old Testament. Do you think we're going to repeat that? That's what they tell us. One thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. Right? You've heard that. And we're repeating the same sins. We're getting thinner and thinner in our ranks, and people don't even know what Jesus is up to. And that's a scary thing.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.